Lord, I just pray for favor. I pray for wisdom. I pray for strength. I thank you, Father, that you are going before. I'm seeing just steps going before, and it's almost like you just have to look at the steps and walk in those steps. So you prepare the way for her as she goes forward, and I thank you. I thank you, Father, that you're opening doors and you are reclaiming some land that the devil has stolen for her. In Jesus' name, amen. Does he kind of freak you out sometimes? Yeah, he does that to me too. But I've learned that when he does that, it's just to get me out of my protected zone. Because you see, I've put up these walls around me, and those same walls that I've allowed to take place to protect me, enclose me. It keeps people out, but it keeps me in. And so it's important to not have those walls up, because then I can't really go where he wants me to go. I stay in my own little area. Those same walls are really closing you instead of protecting you. So I have a scripture today, and all I've kept thinking about this whole week was, but seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, I don't have a math history like you guys do, math teachers and math history and the positive and negatives. I don't think that way. I just know I have money or I don't have money. But I know one thing. In this scripture, God is talking to people who are concerned about their needs. They're saying, you know, what are we going to eat? God, we want to do your work, but how are we going to eat? What clothing are we going to wear? He said, you know what? I take care of the birds of the field. It doesn't matter. Just seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. So there is more than just his kingdom. And all these things shall be added unto you. Now, those of us who were my age probably going to, Alleluia. It was a chorus. And in the Baptist church, we had the hymns, and all of a sudden we were introduced to this, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Remember that? It was like, ooh, Maranatha, that just kind of changed our worship. And so seeking his kingdom is a great sound, but what does it mean to seek his kingdom? My question today is, do you have a kingdom mindset? Now, I don't know if you do or not. That's between you and God. But do you have a kingdom mindset? What is kingdom? Now, kingdom means the territory or country subject to a king, an undivided territory under the dominion of a king or monarch. So kingdom, when it comes to God, is it's his territory. It's his nation. It's his possessions. So that's his kingdom. Now, of course, that really means the entire world. But when he's talking about his kingdom, he's really talking about those who are part of his family, those who have been redeemed. You see, he called the disciples out of their regular lives and said, what? Come, follow me. I love the fact that he chose fishermen. He chose the blue-collar ones. He chose the ones that were just doing their job who didn't make the cut. They were fishing because at 13 years old, when they tried to do all of their studies and recite the Torah, they didn't make it. So if you didn't make it at 13, you went to do an apprentice in a blue-collar job. If you made it, you went on to rabbinical school and became a rabbi or worked with a rabbi. So they weren't chosen by a rabbi. They were the ones nobody chose. The ones that were just the rejects, the ones that were just the apprentice, just the fishermen over there. That's God. Then he chooses a man up in a tree. Now, that man climbed the tree to kind of see what was going on because he had no idea. What's all this commotion? He wasn't very well liked. He was a tax collector, took people's money. And then Jesus passing by and said, you, come down from that place. He goes to those who, one, are open. I think that the fishermen were so excited that a rabbi chose them that they said, we're ready to leave everything because you see us. You really see us. That's Jesus. Those eyes that could pierce through every single part of us. There's a woman at the well. And it's the middle of the day, and she's drawing water at 12 noon in the Middle East underneath heat and sun and exhaustion. And there's nobody else there because nobody goes to the well at 12 noon because it's the hottest part of the day. But she goes to that well because she's an outcast. And who walks right up to her and says, can I have a drink? You have something I see and I need. Jesus is telling her that. The Bible tells us that we were created for his pleasure. We get that wrong sometimes. We think we have to be a certain way, and God says, I created you the way you are. Learn to just love me. Because I want to be with you. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to read 35 scriptures before you come in my presence. I just want to be with you. I don't know how many of you have kids, but I don't. But we have two dogs, Barnum and Bailey. But I don't just want them to be obedient. I love when I come home and they just want to see me. God loves that too. He loves you just to want to come and be with him. It's a powerful thing. That's a kingdom mindset. And it's hard because a mindset is a way of thinking that is so deeply entrenched in a person that it creates a fixed mental attitude or disposition. It often predetermines a person's response or interpretation to their environment or life events. So if you don't have a kingdom mindset, if your mindset is the way you were taught, then there's a problem because everything that you're doing is in relationship to what your mindset says. Now, most of us were raised in church, or many of us. How many were not raised in church? You guys are so fortunate. Is that the truth? Man, you don't have to unlearn so many things that have taken us so long to unlearn. So, I worked in a hardware store. Cutting glass. They had these machines where you actually have measurements that you have to measure the glass and you cut the glass. My dad was very good at what he did. And he said, Keith, when you cut glass, you have to measure every pane. Now, it was a pain to cut the panes, you know. So if you had 30 people needing 30 panes, don't take one and use that one as your mold and cut the rest because you're going to be a little bit off every cut. And by the time you're on the 30th, you're going to be probably a half an inch off. You don't notice it because it's so close each time you're cutting that pane, but you're off center. So me, of course, being the rebellious teenager, I'm like, Daddy doesn't know everything. So when I get these window panes coming in, I cut the first one, and I just use that second one because it's much quicker to use that one instead of measuring each pane and marking it. Just follow that line. Bam, bam, bam. And that's exactly what happens in the church. We don't go back to this. We go back to what did the church say? What did my church say growing up? Or what did my parents' church say? And all of a sudden, we're a half inch off when we try to fit that window into the paint into the window. You see, it really is Jesus that is the example, not the church. We're in a Western country, in a Western thinking mentality, and he was Eastern. So he wasn't democratic. Or Republican. He wasn't even voting. Because he had a kingdom mindset. When we get a kingdom mindset, those things aren't quite so important because he's still king. I pray for all of our leaders every day because I know that they're leading. At the same time, I know God is still in control of his kingdom. So in my life, I don't have that worry about, oh, what is this president going to do to me? He's got to go through God. God still has me. I was sharing with someone a couple of weeks ago in counseling about Nebuchadnezzar and how it looked like, if you really look at the situation without a kingdom mindset, it looked like Daniel and all of the Jews were taken against their will, which they were, captive into Babylon, and all of a sudden it looks like, where's God in this picture? I mean, there's an evil king, Nebuchadnezzar, that is ruling everything. So in the man mindset, God's missing here. God has messed up. Well, he's allowing these things to happen. Yet he had a plan to take place, to move the heart of a king in Babylon. And a man named Daniel was used in that. You see, I don't know why we try to run from difficult situations. Well, we don't like pain. That's part of the issue. You may have a really uncomfortable job. Your boss may be horrible. Your boss may be horrible. Oh, she actually get coffee. That's good. So your boss may be a tyrant. No, I'm just joking. She's a wonderful boss. We run from those situations because they get difficult. And God is saying, I am trying to teach you patience and endurance through this process. And we say, okay, God, get me out of here. And you, okay, I'm praying, God, get me out of this job. And all of a sudden, you know, God, open this door. Oof. Open this door, God. Oof. Oh, it opened. Praise God. And all of a sudden, your boss is 10 times worse here. There's a principle, I'm telling you. But when God does it, they come to you. Hey, I have a new job opening. I have this opportunity. Because you passed that test, and now he has another test he wants to teach you. It's all about the end result and the process, not the end result. Amen. So in Matthew 6, this is where that kingdom comes from. He says this to the disciples. So I want you to read this with me. So it says, in this manner, therefore, pray. Let's read this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, you Catholics are saying, woo, finally something I know. But when we go to prayer, this is what God really taught us to pray. Now, the problem is he doesn't want you to recite a prayer every time, but he's giving us what to pray about. Now, I have never taught on the Lord's Prayer. Isn't that strange? We in the Pentecostal churches never teach on Psalm 23, which I taught on last time, in the Lord's Prayer. It's just, oh, everybody knows that, or it's religious. But when it comes down to kingdom thinking, it's intertwined in the entire prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father. You know, 63 times in the Bible is God referred to as Father. Father. Say Father. Father. Say my Father. For some of you, that creates a warm feeling. But for some of you, it does not. Some of you were beaten. Some of you were sexually abused. Some of you were disowned. So Father doesn't always have a great connotation. That's why he reparents us. He gives us the glimpse of the heavenly Father and really allows us to understand what a true Father is. But know that he is your Father in the good way. If you haven't seen The Shack, see The Shack. Because they'll use Papa for Father. Now, 1 Corinthians 8:6, there's a lot of references. It says, for us, there is but one God, our Father, from whom all things come and for whom we live. Everything that was made, my Father created. That's a pretty powerful thought. There's one God and Father, and he says this, yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are the work of your hands. Ooh, we get that confused sometimes because I want to tell him how to make me or how to shape me or how to mold me. He's like, I'm the potter. You're the clay. There's a whole other sermon. If you haven't heard my sermon on that, look it up. And I love this one. It says, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters. Isn't that precious? He's teaching us, I want to reparent you. I want you to understand, I will be that father for you. And then this one. I love the way the message says this. It says, leave the corruption and compromise. Now, look at the difference in the verse before. The message just kind of put it out there. Leave the corruption and the compromise. Leave it for good, says God. Don't link up with those who will pollute you. I think we need to read that again. Don't link up with those who will pollute you. I want you all for myself. I'll be a father to you. You'll be sons and daughters to me. That's powerful. That is powerful. That's a kingdom mindset. It's a life change. That's the kingdom mentality. Now some say, oh, but people that are might corrupt me, I need to reach out to them. That's not what we're talking about. Linked up, joining together in relationships, whether it be romantic relationships, whether it be business relationships, be very careful and choose those linked up relationships very carefully. It's just so important. And then he says this, I love this one. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters by which we joyfully cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. That word in the Aramaic, Abba, is Papa. We joyfully say, Papa, Daddy. That's who he is. That's the Father. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed means holy, set apart. You know he's a holy God? Now, we talk a lot about the love of God here because I know we've been beat up by the other stuff. But he's holy. There are some things he expects us to do and not to do. Yes, he does. And with a kingdom mindset, your mindset should be on other people and not so much upon you. Do you know that? Your heart's that way. You love to help people. We had a meeting, we just kind of met and talked, and I said, I just see you are one who fights for injustice. You just have a heart to fight for injustice. And God put that in you. That's a kingdom mindset. Because it's not about you, it's about the others, the whole, the kingdom mentality. And if we begin to think in a kingdom mindset, all of a sudden, he can begin to direct us and bless us in other areas in our life. But most of us want to turn inward instead of outward. I pray that when new people come through that door, you're not thinking of, oh, that's a potential hookup for me. It's true. I've heard it. And you stop that person from coming back to this church. That's something you will have to answer for. Kingdom mindset is important. So I want you to think about that when you're thinking about new people coming to the church, to think about a kingdom mindset. It's important. That's the holiness part. That's important, folks. It's also important that when you go out to eat, you don't tell everybody else's stuff. Let them tell their own story and let you just talk about God when you're meeting somebody new. Hurt me so bad when I had this new guy I was working with for months to try to get him here. And he came and I thought I trusted him with adults. And I said, can you guys take him out to lunch? And on his Facebook that Sunday, he said, just visited church and heard all the church gossip at lunch. Boom. And the one meeting undid everything we were trying to do for the kingdom. You see how important it is? Now, I'm not saying this to say we have a horrible church. We don't. He just told us what a wonderful church we have. And I don't think anybody here is a horrible person. But I think some of us need to get a kingdom mindset. I think some of us need to start thinking about, what is God calling me to do, instead of what am I going to take from people coming in? When all of a sudden a new person is here and wanting to meet or coming to talk to us, and we have to say, no, I want to get there before them to talk to Pastor Keith or Pastor Jonathan. No, a kingdom mindset says, you know what? I have them. I have their number. Let the new people who don't have it talk to them on Sunday. And let me call or contact them during the week. Kingdom mindset. Kingdom mindset. In worship, to encourage people with the dance. Kingdom mindset. When you have a special in your heart and you want to sing, that's a kingdom mindset. When you are devoted to teach the classes you're teaching, that's a kingdom mindset. And God loves that. Hallowed would be thy name. Holy, set apart. Your kingdom come. Big picture instead of just ourselves. How many of you are big picture people? I'm a big preacher person. How many of you are detail, detail, details? Raise your hands again. I want to look at who's the detail. Okay. Details. Do you know you need both? You need to have the big picture, because I can just see the big picture and not know how to get there. But then the detail people come and give you the details. But a kingdom mindset has to see the big picture. And the big picture is always people. It's always people, not buildings and not projects. It's always people in God's kingdom. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will is often different than my will. Surprise, surprise. My will is often that things will be done a certain way, and God will always come in and say, yeah, we're not going to do it that way. Like, really? God, I really know better. I mean, that's what I'm kind of saying sometimes. You ever feel that way? I mean, if it was my will, things would be completely different. But then I look back and I'm thinking, wow, look at this. Years ago, Ed is a flight attendant. My husband's a flight attendant. And he was going to be going. He always prays over his schedule every month that he has Sundays off. He requests it, but it's all done by seniority, and a computer system does it. And we know computers always do everything correctly, right? So everybody's like, you know, is Ed off this week? I'm like, I have no idea. His schedule changed. Every week it's a different day and different hours, and we've learned to live this way for a long time. So he's always off on Sundays, except this one Sunday. He was really frustrated. He said, I am off every Sunday, but this one Sunday of the month, and I have one flight to Gainesville, Florida in the afternoon, so I can't go to church. Because I'm so mad. I'm like, God, why are you doing this? And I'm thinking, big picture. There's got to be a reason. And so about this time, I'm chatting with Pastor Lee and Yolanda in New Orleans, and her sister was on drugs and had just come sober, and she needed to go to court. So she's trying to get Lee to come visit her. So Lee says, you know, tickets are so expensive. And I said, well, Ed's got a buddy pass you could probably use. And she goes, okay, can you find out I'm going to Gainesville, Florida? I'm like, ah. He just told me how frustrated he was that he has one trip on a Sunday afternoon to Gainesville, Florida. See, little picture, he's missing the service. Big picture, he's about to do something for God. So, long story short, she gets on that flight buddy pass, and he calls me and says, Keith, there is no way she's getting on this flight. It is so oversold, and you know, you fly standby, so you will be the last thing on it, person on there. There's like a list of 10 people before her. They kept calling everybody's name. Nobody's showing up. Mr. Smith, Mr. Johnson, all these things. And all of a sudden, Ms. Thompson, she's like, me? Gets on, and guess where she sits? Next to Ed. Ed's in the jump seat, and she's right across from Ed. She's scared to fly. So she said, you have no idea how great it was to have Ed right there to talk to me as the plane, oh, isn't it love that? As the plane took off, and she didn't have money for hotel, and he's got a hotel for that night because he has that one flight in Gainesville flying back the next day. So she got to stay with him. That's the big picture. He's always working things out. Don't get frustrated. Trust him that he's in the back scenes doing something to work things out. And then it goes on to this. Give us this day our daily bread. He will meet your needs according to his riches and glory. I always said when I was at WorldSpan, we had layoffs all the time, and I kept thinking, God, WorldSpan is not my source. That was my job. Travelport is not my source. God is my source. He will always be Jehovah Jireh. And it says, give us this day our daily bread. My problem is I think of yearly. How am I going to have my yearly needs met? And God is saying, remember the Israelites? Every day, manna came down from heaven. And some of them were like me thinking, well, I'm just going to put some on the side and put them in jars. And they would put them in the jars, and the next day it would be rotten. Because he says, no, you need to depend on me every day. Give me this day my daily bread. And then this is my favorite. And forgive us of our debts, our trespasses. Debts is not just money here when you go into the Greek. It actually means offenses. Forgive me of my offenses, my sins, as I forgive those who have sinned against me. Makes it a little bit more personal. Now my question to you is, do you really want God to do this? Do you really want him to forgive you the same way you're forgiving other people? I mean, do you want him to use the same amount of judgment and mercy that you're giving to those who have hurt you or offended you? Ouch. That's what he's saying. That could be a whole sermon, couldn't it? Listen to what it says. And the Amplified, and forgive us of our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, letting go of both the wrong and the resentment. That helps. Then it says this, for if you forgive others and their trespasses against you, then your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others and instead nurture your hurt and anger, then your Father will not forgive your trespasses. I didn't write it. I copied it out of here. But a lot of time we spend a lot of time nurturing our hurt instead of forgiving. You want to know a real secret for kingdom mentality? Some of you have had horrible things done to you, and I understand that. Abused in a lot of ways. And I'm not going to do the but part. I will do the and. And God wants to free you of nurturing those places of hurt. Because if you hold on to those and cultivate those, you're growing a fence in your garden. You're holding on to those hurts and pains and spending money. You're actually watering them and nurturing them. And when all of a sudden somebody who's healthy tries to bring you out from that area, you find somebody else to help you water that. Oh, Pastor Keith didn't have time for me. Oh, Pastor Deb didn't do. I told her I needed to sing, and she didn't let me sing. I want to be in the middle of that worship team. Do you know she deals with that? We've had people get upset because of where she puts them on the platform. Give me a break. Not a kingdom mindset. If you were so concerned that you want to be in the middle of the platform instead of somewhere else, is this not right? And yes, that's happened. And I've talked to Pastor Jonathan about sharing some of these things. I don't want to share some of these things because you think we're really dysfunctional, which we are a little. But we're honest. We are a bunch of people with issues. Just like everybody else has issues. And you know what? We know God is the one who is controlling and leading us. I can look in people's lives and say, wow, look at where you've come from. You are a walking testimony. And look at what God's done. But that's saying, I'm going to have a kingdom mindset. He works at it. That's nurturing the God part and not the offense part. But I'm not going to get tied up in that offense to where all of a sudden it's blocking me from my blessing. Because then I'm giving control to someone else, and I can't do that in my life. I cannot allow those who have hurt me in the past to continue to hurt me in the future. So they stripped me of my credentials when I was in the Assemblies of God because I came out. Well, you know what? My teacher used to say, if they run you out of the church, get in the front of it and act like it's a parade and you're leading it. People will do some mean things to you, and it's going to happen again. And we have a choice. Do you forgive them or do you hold on to them? And forgiveness is always the way. Song of Solomon says, the little foxes spoil the vine. A lot of times it's those little things that we let in. It's those little issues that we just continue. That's not a really big thing. I know it's not really gossip, but it's just telling the truth. No, it's gossip. And you're poisoning as you do that. So instead of focusing on the negative, why not focus on the positive and the God thing? And pray for discernment. Pray for those eagle eyes to really see things clearly. And then finally, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So now when you pray the Lord's Prayer, think about these things we're saying. It's a whole different mindset when you really let Jesus be the author of how to pray. So what I pray for you today is a kingdom mindset. We just lift your hands, close your eyes right now. Father, I pray for each person here for a kingdom mindset. Not the old way of thinking, not a past way of thinking, but a kingdom mindset, a new way of thinking. The old is past, but the new is here, and we walk in newness. Old things are passed away. All things have become new, and I thank you for that. Now, some of us need to release or pray for forgiveness for areas where we have been failing, and it's easy to put into the blood and then say, God, I will purpose to have a kingdom mindset. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just thank him. Hallelujah. Amen. Be blessed. Love you guys. See you next week.